We do welcome you here to Ballygan Free Presbyterian Church tonight to our special 40th anniversary praise service. Just the Lord will meet with us and bless us as we meet around His Word and as we hear the songs of Zion sung tonight. We're going to commence with the hymn 620 in the book on the screen as well. Church of God, beloved and chosen, Church of Christ for whom He died, claim thy gifts and praise thy giver, ye are washed and sanctified. Sanctified by God the Father and by Jesus Christ the Son and by God the Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, three in one. And we'll stand after the introduction and sing together. Still our hearts in the Lord's presence and come before the Lord in prayer tonight. Give God thanks for these 40 years that the Lord has blessed the witness to be here on this site since the first building was opened. After we pray, our sister Natasha will come and sing, and then Naomi will sing immediately after her. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving, and eternal Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, O God, that we're here tonight to give thee thanks. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Not unto us, but unto thy name. We give praise and glory. We give thee the honor for all the blessings that thou hast so graciously and liberally and bestowed upon us. And Father, we ask of Thee tonight that Thou wilt meet with us in this meeting as we have met together to praise Thy holy name. We pray that our hearts will be filled with praise and our souls will be blessed from the Lord. And we will be encouraged even tonight as we have gathered here. And those who are listening in to our service, we pray that they too will know the blessing of God even tonight. We ask of Thee that Thou wouldst come and pour out Thy Spirit here in this meeting place. We praise Thee, Lord, for these 40 years. We thank Thee, Lord, for those who sacrificed and gave of their time as well to see the building erected, the first church building on this site. And we thank Thee for all that has been accomplished since and the development of these buildings and the suite of buildings that we now have. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy great provision. We thank Thee for men who have ministered here too and through the years. And Lord, we rejoice even to this time that the gospel is still sounding forth on the Belfast Road. The word of God is still being heralded forth. We pray that Thou wilt, O God, continue to bless us and continue to use us into the days to come. We pray tonight, Lord, that Thou wilt bless the members and friends of our congregation. And those who cannot meet with us tonight because of illness. We pray for those who are hospitalized or those who are ill at home. Those who are confined to nursing or residential care. That Thou wilt bless all such at this time. Many of these folk have been so faithful to the work here and to the witness here over decades of time. We thank You for Thy servant who has come to preach Thy word, that Thou wilt fill him with the Holy Spirit. And those who minister in song, we pray that Thou wilt bless them. Amen. And that Thou wilt use them tonight for Thy praise and honor and glory. We give thanks unto the Lord. We pray that this meeting will be a meeting in which souls are spoken to about their need of Christ. If there are any here or listening in tonight who are not saved, we pray that Thou wilt bring them to a knowledge of the truth as it is in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen.
Set for worship on it.
Natasha and Naomi for that ministry and song. May the Lord bless it to our hearts tonight. We're going to have then, I think, a duet in the midst of this next bit, and solos as well from Dr. Greenfield and Dr. McRae. So we're delighted to have them with us tonight, of course, and they're going to minister to us now. Thank you. You've had the young ones, now we're going for the old ones, golden oldies, and it's good to be with you tonight. This special service, trust the Lord will bless his word as it goes forth in song and in word. I thought Mr. Smiley was starting an accordion band for the 40th anniversary of the Ballygown accordion band. And I know some fellas could play the big drum and would do well. But we'll sing a gospel hymn, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, he came in to suffer, to bleed, to die, to save us. But he's coming back again. And the next time he comes, he's not coming to be beaten or mocked or crucified. He's coming in power and in glory. Celebrating at the minute 40 years, but we're going to try and sing a hymn. We've been singing it maybe for 50 years or even more. Have to confess, we haven't improved any over the years. But we'll sing it. It talks about the trials and the troubles that you have in this life. So we're going to ask your brother, Reverend McRae, to come join us. And we'll go here. We'll have to work out a key that we could sing now, because our voices have changed over the years, you know, unfortunately. We have changed over the years.
Whenever we're going round the countryside as young students, taken missions in different meetings all around the country. And Jean would have been going around with Fred, and no matter what meeting it was, we were going to sing, and I could see Jean's eyes rolling in her head, not again, not again. But Jean, yes again, after all these years, trials dark on every hand. Amen,
brother. Well, Jean and Anne were our best fans, they were our only fans.
Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the way that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. And He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die, and we'll understand better.
Thank you very much indeed, Brother Prey. It was certainly good to have the opportunity of sharing with our brother once again and rejoicing in all that the Lord has done with him and through him down these years.
God has not promised skies always blue, for our strewn pathways all our life through. God has not promised sun with thy rain, joy with thy sorrow, peace with thy pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way. Trial, help from above, unfailing kindness, undying love. God has not promised we shall not know toil and temptation, trouble or woe. He hath not told us we shall not bear many a burden, many a care. But God has promised strength for today, rest for the labor, light for the way. Grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing kindness, undying love. God has not promised smooth roads and wide, swift, easy travel, needing no guide. Never a mountain rocky and steep, never a river turbid and deep. But God promised to give me strength for each day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing kindness, undying love.
I remember singing around the meetings, and Tim came over many times requested, and he'll just sing a wee verse of it now.
There's a deep, silent river flowing just beyond. Its waters are deep, they're so wide. It's as dark as the night, but mine eyes see the light way down by the riverside. Sing it with me now. He's the light at the river, the light at the river, light at the river I can see. My Lord will stand, if picked by the hand, he's the light at the river for me. Good morning. bigger than all of my problems, bigger than all of my fears. God is bigger than any mountain I can or cannot see. Bigger than all of my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain I can or cannot see. He's the light of the river.
Now we're going to call upon Mr. Smiley to sing.
That's definitely not. I was carrying the accordions in earlier and someone suggested to me I'd be good on the fiddle. Well, there's a story about that, because when I was ministering in John Knox on the Shankill Road many years ago, there was a fellow came and I said, our brother's coming and he's here tonight and he's on the fiddle. Now everybody laughed. Now, if you know the Shankill Road, I'm not downgrading Shankill Road in any way. I love those people. But I says, you all know what I mean when I say on the fiddle. So, anyway, it was a good laugh on that occasion. We're delighted to see you tonight. And we trust that the Lord will be with you and bless you. Good to see former members and friends as well who have come tonight to celebrate with us the 40 years since the first building was erected. Good to see our former elder, Brother George, up there in the gallery with his wife. In fact, he transferred before I came here. It must have leaked out I was coming, and so he transferred to Carrie Duff. But there's a free transfer back again, Brother, if you want to come any time. But we're delighted to see you and your wife here. Brother Harry Harvey, the local MLA, as well, his wife here tonight. And we welcome them also. And all of you, Reverend McVeigh is up there as well, at the back of the gallery. Of course, he lives in Ballygan. He can join any time. And his wife there, we're delighted to see them as well. And folk from Dunmurray, Martyrs, Newtonards, all around the place, who have come tonight to be with us. And we trust the Lord will bless you all. This is the third in the series of anniversary service, the leaflet there announcing the other meetings, and you can take them if you wish as you leave. Continuing Lord's Day next at 11:30, when Reverend Derek Irwin, the second minister of the church, will be the preacher at 11:30. I will be going back to the Shankill Road again because it's 50 years since that work started. And so I'll be preaching there on Sunday morning. Not on the fiddle, by the way, but I will be there at 11:30 on the Shankill Road. And then the evening time, I'll be back here again preaching the word. Brother Sam Houston will bring the meetings to conclusion, ministering in song at the evening service. There are baskets at the exits for your offerings for the building fund, and we appreciate your giving over the years and again tonight for the building fund. Items for Ukraine are listed on the WhatsApp group to be brought to the church here from 10:30 to 12 next Tuesday, the 12th of April, and they'll be picked up then by our brother Donald later on that day. So do remember that if you can, please keep that in mind, and we appreciate your help and your financial giving to this worthy cause, and again, do remember that, please. Now we're going to have the first and last verses, Johnny, of this hymn, O Breath of Life, come sweeping through us, and then Dr. McRae will come after we sing these two verses. He will come. We're delighted to have him here with us tonight, Ballygan. He's no stranger. We've been blessed with his ministry over the years. We had some missions together in various tent missions in Lisbon and Money Ray and so forth. And then I was in the Shankill Road with missions there as well. We've enjoyed our brother's fellowship over the years, and Brother Greenfield, of course, as well. And we trust the Lord to bless him as he comes after we sing these verses to bring God's word to us tonight.
Say a word of thanks to our brother Reverend Smiley for the invitation to come and share with you on this special anniversary. It's always a special time we can have the fellowship together at this anniversary. We pray that the Lord will continue to bless his work. It's also delighted to have fellowship with our brother Greenfield once again. And not forgetting, I noticed down there Dr. Barnes as well. It's certainly lovely to see you, and we've been praying for you that the Lord would keep his hand upon you, and that the Lord will just continue to touch you. And we rejoice to see you here among us and having fellowship with us again in the Saviour's precious name. We're going to open our Bibles tonight in the book of Exodus in the chapter number 15. And we're commencing to read some verses from God's precious word. Exodus chapter 15 at the verse number 21. Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 21. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphant gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness, and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which he had cast into the waters. The waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Let's just bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word this evening and for the opportunity of gathering round it. And I pray tonight in the closing a part of this service that we might know a deep sense of thy presence. O God, we thank thee for the songs of Zion. We thank thee for our young sisters that have been ministering. And what a blessing it is to hear them sing the glorious gospel of Christ. We thank thee for Brother Greenfield and how you blessed and used him mightily down the years. And, O God, we pray that thou wilt continue to do that in the days to come. And, Lord, we pray now as we come to handle thy word, Oh God, give us that fresh oil. Give us the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And cover us in the precious blood. And may we be conscious of thy presence in a very special way. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. And for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our reading this evening in the book of Exodus chapter 15 is a part of the story of the children of Israel as they made their journey to the land of promise. Now the Bible tells us, we're over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And therefore, every time we come to the Word of God, no matter where you come to, it says all Scripture is given and is profitable. And therefore, when you come and open the Word of God, friend, you can know that you're coming to find profit for your soul in God's precious and the study of God's holy Word. Now the New Testament, referring to this journey that the children of Israel made in the wilderness, Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians and the chapter 10. And he reminds us that this has a relevance for us today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6 it says, "Now all these things are our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things." Verse 10, "Neither murmur ye as some of them murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer." Verse 11, "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples," mark this, "and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world are come." And so therefore, whenever you're looking back at the story in the book of Exodus and the wandering of the children of Israel in the wilderness, remember, it has been recorded for our admonition. In other words, it has a message for us this day and for this generation. And then he goes on in verse 12 to say, "Wherefore, in the light of this, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest they fall." You know, it's so easy to point the finger at the children of Israel here and say, you know, if that had been us, we would never have done what they did. My friend, the Word of God says, "Wherefore, take heed. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." There go you and I, but for the grace of God. And so it's recorded for us tonight. It's not simple history. But what it is, it has a lesson for us. Out of that story, that history of the journey of the children of Israel through their wilderness experience, and it has something to say to us as we travel through our wilderness experience. Because remember, this world's not our home. We're just passing through. I often remind people, you know, that go through difficult experiences in life, and we all do. I always say to them, brother, sister, never lose the value of that experience that God has allowed you to go through. Never lose its value. And I'll tell you this. Because remember the experience that you're going through. Remember, somebody else will be going through the same experience. Sometime or other, there will be someone going through the very same experience as you are going through. And they need you to tell them, "Listen, brother, sister, God brought me through." And therefore God can bring you through as well. That's Paul writing in 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 4, he says, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort whereby we were comforted of God." In other words, the grace that God give us, we can tell others that God's grace is sufficient for them. And child of God, I have good news for you tonight. Listen, God's grace is sufficient. It's not will be sufficient. It is sufficient for every step of the journey, every moment of every day. My grace is sufficient. The next step we take, my grace is sufficient. Every step we take, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, whenever we come to the story of the journeying of the children of Israel in the wilderness, we come to the 15th chapter. And I want us in a few moments just to look at something that happened in their lives and how that God taught them a lesson and how that God brought them through. But let me set the background here. Remember, the children of Israel had been down in Egypt for 430 years in the land of Egypt. And there they were in bondage, and they cried unto God. And God said to Moses, he says, I have heard their cry. He said, I have seen their affliction. Then he said this. Not only have I heard, and not only have I seen, he says, I've come down. I'm come down to deliver them. You see, God doesn't stand back from us in our day of trouble. Thank God he's with us. He's with us in our trouble. Because remember his promise in Hebrews chapter 13. He said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, says David, even that dark valley of death itself, the psalmist was able to say, I'll fear no evil. What was the secret, friend? For thou art with me. Ah, friend, when you have the Savior with you, then thank God, no matter what you have to face, God will never leave you and God will never forsake you. And looking back all over the years, the 40 years since this work of God started in Ballygowan, listen, God has been with us people. It's not always been easy. It's not always been a flower strewn pathway. But thank God, God has brought you through, and here you are, 40 years later. And God has given you this preacher for this last nearly 18 years. And you know, God is going to provide for you for the future, because he's promised. For he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And all of those long years, and I'm sure there were times that they felt discouraged and downhearted and so oppressed by the enemy. Indeed, they cried unto God, and God heard their cry. And then God came down. God said, listen, I'm going to deliver thee. And God told his servant Moses to tell the children of Israel to get ready to go. But what they had to do was this. There was one way of deliverance. They had to take a little lamb and separate it from the flock. And then they had to, yes, it was a without blemish, it was a spotless little lamb, speaking, of course, of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And God said the blood of that lamb had got to be shed and put in a basin, and then the hyssop was to be taken, and they were to apply the blood on the doorpost of the door and on that top lintel of the door. The blood of the houses of the children of Israel was to be applied. And then God said this. He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Let me tell you, see, whenever the children of Israel were in that home, they couldn't see the blood. But notice God didn't say, when you see the blood. He says, when I see the blood. And let me tell you this tonight. I was just thinking about this afternoon. You know, I don't see the blood applied to my sin. But God sees it. God sees it. And the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us. Yea, keeps on cleansing from all sin. God saw the blood. And God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And then he said in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in onto your houses to smite you. Now, friend, the death angel was passing through the land of Egypt that night. And God was watching. And there was the blood applied to the house of every little Jewish family. And God says,
When I see the blood upon the lintel and upon the side posts of the door, God says, I will pass over the door. What did that mean? It meant that God stood in the doorway. He guarded the door. He said that the angel, the destroyer, will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses and not let him in. For I'm over the door. Child of God, tonight, under the blood we're safe. Under the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we are secure. But remember this, if there's someone here tonight, and you're not under the blood, your sins have not been cleansed in the precious blood of Jesus, then there's no protection. And whenever the angel of wrath comes, and God's wrath is poured out upon the sinner, listen, there's no protection for your soul. But thank God, God stands guard over his people. And the death angel passed through that night, and God stood over the door of every one of those homes where the blood was applied. God kept his promise. And praise God of good news tonight. God always keeps his promise. The God who cannot lie, because God had promised to bring them into the land which floweth with milk and honey. Just for a moment, go back to chapter 13. Let's get again the context. It says in verse 17, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about to the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. You see, that deliverance out of Egypt wasn't the end of the journey. And the night the Lord saved me, that was only the start of the journey. It wasn't the end of the journey. But you know what God did? As God delivered them out of the Egyptians in the hands of the oppressor and brought them out there into the wilderness, the Bible says God went before them. God led them. God led them. God went before. And isn't it good to know, as God's children, each step I take, the Savior goes before me. Dear friend, if you're not saved, do you not see what they're missing? You haven't this friend, and you can sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. But if you're not saved, you have not put your trust in Christ. It's not true. All you're singing is words. Thank God, those who are saved, we have a friend who leads his people. And that's what God has done down these 40 years in Ballygowan. He's been leading his children. He's been going before them every step of the way. Now notice, he didn't lead them the way that perhaps they thought it would be, the way that was near. But it says God led them about. You leave the leading to God, friend. Don't you tell God what to do. Don't you tell God that it should be done this way, and God, I want you to do this. My dear child of God, you're not on the driving seat. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you handed the reins of your life into his hands. It's him, the master, not you. It's not I, but Christ, who liveth in me. What I tell you, this the psalmist said, God led them. Yes, it wasn't an ear way. And God led them about, but it says in the psalm, he led them the right way. He led them the right way. And maybe looking back, some of you brethren in Ballygowan would say, you know, there were some experiences that we would rather not to have gone through. Friend, let me tell you, God has brought you this way. Therefore, thank God for his leading. Thank God for his guidance. Because with God, there's always a purpose. There are no mistakes with God. And not only did God do that, go down to verse 21 of chapter 13. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. In other words, all that they needed. All they needed was provided. To go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night. What do you see here? I see the faithful God. I see God faithful to his children. But when you come into chapter 14 very quickly, what we find is this. That God knew that after Pharaoh had let the children of Israel go, that he would bethink himself and say, what have we done? What have we done? Why did we let these people go? So God knew what was in Pharaoh's heart. You know what God did? God stepped in. And the Bible says in chapter 14, verse 4, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Now you look at the early chapters in the story about the children of Israel down in Egypt, friend, you'll find that you'll read this, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then it came to a moment when it says this, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And God says here, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts. See, the way that God's leading here, it's the right way. With God, there's always a sovereign plan. And so therefore Pharaoh is coming after the children of Israel. They look behind them and they see Pharaoh and his army coming and they're marching. And mighty folk hemmed in on every hand. Because on either side there were the mountains and before them there was the Red Sea. And behind them, here was Pharaoh. Where could they go? What's the hymn writer say? Where can I go but to the Lord? He's the one we need to go to. And you know, whenever the children of Israel saw that, the children of Israel in verse number 10 of chapter 14, they lifted up their eyes and beheld the Egyptians. They were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They're afraid. They're crying. Because they feel they're hemmed in. No hope. And then they say unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth to Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? Let us alone! That we will serve the Egyptians. Then they said nothing of the sort. They said nothing of the sort. Let us alone. No, they cried. God heard their cry for deliverance. Now they turn on the man of God in the day of their fear. And they said, did not we tell you, let us alone, that we would serve. It would be better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. You see, they got their eyes of the Lord. Oh yes, it says they cried first of all unto the Lord, but they weren't trusting the Lord. Maybe you're going through a situation in life, friend. To be honest, you haven't brought God into your situation. You've tried everything yourself. Until at last,
You're forced to go to God. Thank God, Moses, God's servant, he just simply said, listen, Moses said, verse 13, fear ye not. Stand still. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand firm and wait on the Lord for deliverance. Why did Moses say that, friend? Because just keep your hand there a moment. There's one wee verse away back in when God called Moses. In the book of Exodus in the chapter 3 and the verse number 12, this is what God said. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. Notice this. When, not if. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. He believed God. I believe God. God gave him a promise, friend, and he held on to it. I remember the night that Brother Greenfield and I were received into the ministry of the Free Church. Over 50 years ago. And I remember in Sandown Road that night, and we had been interviewed and we had to preach to the presbytery. And interviewed, and then we had to wait. God gave me a promise away back then. It was Isaiah chapter 43. Fear not. I've redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. And friend, in my life, on many occasions, God has brought me back to that verse. To stand on that ground. To take hold of that promise that God had given me. And God says, whether it be the waters or the rivers, or even when you pass through the fire, I'll be with thee. Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Maybe I'm speaking to someone tonight, and you're going through a great trial. God gave you a promise that's not fulfilled as yet, that you can see. Say, what do I do, preacher? Go back to the promise, friend. Claim it. Stand still, fear not, and wait upon the Lord. God's never late, you know. Mary and Martha thought that Jesus was late, but he wasn't. You say, yes, Pharaoh was coming. He was closing in, a great army, a great enemy, a powerful one. But Moses had his eye on a greater one. A great God. And I know things have been difficult over this past couple of years, especially with the COVID. And many people have been discouraged. Some have been downhearted. Ah, friend, listen. Remember what Jesus said. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he's the same forever. I am the Lord. I change not. And all the circumstances that you're going through, just like these children of Israel, and whatever the future holds for this congregation, I want to tell you this. It's not your hold on him that will keep you strong and safe. Praise God, it's his hold on you. That's what keeps you secure. And so we find, when you come to chapter 15, God has delivered them. The enemy has been scattered, drowned in the waters. A miracle. You see, they were on the verge of a miracle. But they didn't see it. But thank God, God didn't withhold his hand from them. God sent the miracle of deliverance. And so when you come to chapter 15, they're singing. It says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel a song. Brother Greenfield and I don't know if Moses had the accordion or not.
But I can tell you this, here they are, and they're singing at the top of their voice, and Moses is leading them, and the children of Israel, now they're singing, "He hath triumphant gloriously, I will sing unto the Lord. The Lord is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. He is my God." Do you know what we need in our churches back? We need the song back in the hearts of God's people again. Many of God's people have lost their song. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Tell me, have you the joy of the Lord tonight? The wee chorus is, "My cup's full, I'm running over." Or as the wee laddie said, "My cup's full and so's my saucer." Because he was so filled with the joy of the Lord. And here we find God's people are rejoicing and they're singing. And Miriam, she takes up her tumble. And she starts, and the women, they start to sing as well. Everything's going fine. You know, they're marching. They're singing. As if the sunshine will never end. The trial's over. The brickyards of Egypt are past. The whips of the taskmaster is over. Yes, the oppression and the groans under the burden of oppression is gone. Deliverance. What a wonderful journey. But verse 22, quickly, listen, get this. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. You know, there were between 2 and 3 million people that Moses was leading. Listen, they've been singing at the top of their voices, and it's only 3 days' journey later into the wilderness, and the song's over. Song's over. I ask you, child of God, I want you to be honest tonight. Have you lost your song? Do you remember what David cried in Psalm 51? He says, "O Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation." Do you remember when you got saved, friend? You love to get to the prayer meeting. You love to get to the Bible study. You love to get to the morning service. My, when it came to the Sunday evening service, you didn't think I wouldn't go to the Lord's. Not at all. I'm not thinking about sitting at home. I want to get among God's people because that's what I love. I love the Word of God. I love the people of God. I love the things of God. You're filled with the joy of the Lord. Is that missing? Does a prayer meeting come? You're not there. Does a Bible study come? And you don't desire? The morning service come, well, maybe you drop in, but when it comes to the evening, well, I don't really have to. Don't go to service going once on a Sunday. SMOs, Sunday morning only. If I'm being honest, that's not how it used to be. And certainly it wasn't in the free churches. Because I can tell you, people had a mind. They had a love for to get among the people of God. And they just traveled 3 days' journey into the wilderness. Now the wilderness, Moses knew all about the wilderness. Because remember, 40 years he was in the royal palace. And then he had to run for his life. And he spent the next 40 years in the backside of the desert, in the wilderness. You know what you find? It's a lonely place. And it's very possible, you know, It's very possible to be lonely in the crowd. And many are. But my friend, here's a lonely place. In Deuteronomy 1 it says, the great and terrible wilderness. In Deuteronomy 32 verse 10, in the waste howling wilderness. It was an awful place. But listen to me carefully. Who led them there? Is there a mistake? No. God led them there. They were under the guidance of the Lord. And in the early days of a free church, friend, there were many hard experiences. There were many knocks. There were many disappointments. There were many setbacks. Many lonely hours for the men of God that stood in the pulpit. They kept going. Do you know why? Because they knew they were in the center of the will of God. And you don't give up. And you don't give in when you know you're in the center of the will of God. You know, God's teaching them a lesson here. There's no alternative to trusting Him completely. But very quickly, we have to come to an end. You know, it's important to remember that after a time of victory, as the children of Israel had, there comes a time of testing. And God's people, they love the blessing, don't they? But they don't love the testing. Do you remember Elijah coming Mount Carmel? Do you remember? Remember the prophets? Of Baal was slain. God gave the man of God a mighty deliverance, and a fire fell from heaven and consumed the altar and the sacrifice and the water. Everything was consumed when God manifested His power. It's no secret what God can do. But where do we find the man of God after that, friend? In the day of testing, in a wilderness experience, sitting down under a juniper tree. You know what he cries? He says, God, let me die. Let me die. He is on the verge of giving up for him. Until God says, Elijah, I'm not finished with you. I'm in control with your life. I'm the one that called you in the first place. I'm the one that put you in the task as my prophet. Not until I'm finished will I call you home. Thank God he went home in victory. He didn't go home in defeat under his juniper tree. He went up in the chariot fire. Hallelujah. Day of testing. I was thinking of the weaver hymn. In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads us dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire. Listen. But all through the blood. Some through great sorrow. But God gives a song in the night season all the day long. There was no water, friend. Between 2 and 3 million of people. And then it says in verse 23, and when they came to Marah, somebody said, as they journeyed thirsty, somebody said, there's water! Do you not see it? There's water! And I can see them run, and now they throw themselves down there at the side of the water, and they start to lap up the water. Oh, water! Water for thirsty souls. Kiss them. It's bitter. Not only no water, friend, better water. All the disappointment. You know, Marah was a place that they were only passing through. God didn't say stop in Marah. You remember Naomi? Her name meant pleasantness. And when she came home from the land of Moab, and the people looked at her and they said, "Is this Naomi?" She said, "Call me not Naomi, for God has dealt bitterly with me." She says, "Call me Mara." What does that mean, friend? Bitterness. Child of God, can I say this to you? No matter what life throws at you, remember God's still sovereign and in control. And don't be bitter with God. They're children of God and they're running around with a chip on their shoulder. And they're angry with God for him. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Friend, there was better water. But God said, "Moses, take a branch, take a tree." And God says, "Put it into the water." Verse 25, God showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. The tree speaks to us of Calvary.
Amen.
Maybe you're angry tonight. Maybe you're hurt tonight. Maybe some of the experiences you've suffered makes you bitter. Let me tell you something. Here's the answer. Listen to me carefully. Get back to the cross. Get back to the cross. And thank God, Jesus, he's no disappointment. Moses cried out. The people had murmured against him. But God showed him a tree. And I thank God when I was in my sin, through the preaching of a faithful evangelist and through a faithful Sunday school teacher, they told me that Jesus was the answer to my sin. And Moses, by faith, cast that tree into the water. The water was made sweet. Here's the last thought. No water, better water. Then go to verse 27, the last verse. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees. And they encamped there. Thank God they didn't stop in Mara. They went on! They went on, hallelujah! And they came to Elim! And they got to Elim. Thank God, what an oasis. There's those 70 palm trees. They could rest under. And there were 12 wells of water. Listen. An abundant water. No water. Better water. But God led them to an abundance of water.
Amen.
Let me tell you, God is not finished with his testimony yet. God is not finished with the free church and every faithful band of people that stands for the book and the blood. Thank God there'll be an abundance of water. God says, "Trust me. Trust me. Follow me." You know, God has a wonderful way of balancing out our maras of trouble and our elims of comfort. isn't it good to leave it in God's hands? My times are in thy hand. My God, I leave them there. My life, my friends, my soul and thee, I leave entirely to thy care. Further along, we know all about it. We may not understand why just now, but I love what Jesus said to his disciples. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. So cheer up, my brother, sister. Live in the sunshine. For we'll understand it. All by and by. All I say to you tonight, go with God. Let him do the leading. And he'll not fail. Amen.
I'd like to thank Mr. McRae for coming tonight and bringing the word. It's a timely message to our hearts, a word of encouragement and challenge. Thank God for it, and good to see him tonight, and Mrs. McRae as well. And we trust the Lord will continue to bless them and use them for his glory. We're going to stand and sing the doxology tonight. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Perhaps Reverend McVeigh, you would come down to the podium here just and lead us in the closing word of prayer, just as we sing. I think there's two verses to this, so though we have only one verse up, there's two verses that follow on. I think they know the words, Johnny, so you'll be all right. So we'll sing this, Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And I think most Free Peas and others too know the second verse, so we'll keep on singing. Okay. Thank you.
Presence again at the throne of heavenly grace. We thank thee, Father, for this time that thou hast granted us tonight in thy presence. We thank thee, O God, that it is not a vain thing to wait upon the Lord. We thank thee, O God, for the joy of being found in thy house tonight. We thank thee for the praise that has been sung unto thee. We praise thee and we thank thee that we can worship thee not only with our lips, but from the very depths of our heart and our souls. And, O God, we pray that even as we've considered tonight, that you'll restore that joy to the hearts of thy people. We pray, O God, that we will sing that new song and that we will rejoice and praise thee in the days that lie ahead. We thank thee for thy word to our hearts tonight. We praise thee for this account of Scripture. We thank thee, O God, that in the midst of the sorrow and the difficulty of the bitter water, we praise thee that we have that hope and that assurance and that joy of that Elam, that oasis in the wilderness. And, O God, we pray that once again you would lead us there and give us days of blessing and days of refreshing, for we ask it in our Saviour's precious and worthy name. Amen.
Thank you for coming tonight. folks, and do please, we'll be out there in the hallway, Mr. McCray and myself, do speak with us if you have a need. We'll be happy to speak to you tonight. This service comes to you from Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church, of course, on the Belfast Road, marking the 40th anniversary of the witness here and the first church building being opened. And we thank you for listening in tonight to this service. May God bless you all.